from 1 Timothy. We're back in there. We left for a little bit over Easter. And what a lesson that was. Hope you were encouraged with Good Friday, Sunday morning Easter service. I know I was encouraged as I studied through the scriptures. I know I was weighted down a lot too. Kept saying, Lord, what do you want? What do you want to go forward? What do you want to be spoken to your people? And he brought it. And it was his word. And I was the vessel that flopped around and tried to bring the truth to you. So I just thank you. I thank the Lord for how he does care for us and he does see our needs in every situation. Whether they seem small to us, God knows what we need in every moment and every time. So, if you have your Bibles, if not, I believe it is up there. 1 Timothy. Yeah, it is 14. I hope it's coming soon. Yes. Okay. 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to start just in 16 on this verse. Is there, Finn? You're good. But verse 16. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read a big clump here. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars, whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a servant, a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. Having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. Persist in this. For by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In ending with last week, actually, let's pray first. Father, I just thank you that we have that large portion of scripture that we read, the scriptures we read this morning. I thank you for the songs that we can rejoice together and sing about you and what who you are, what you have done. I thank you now, Father, for this word. I thank you for the study that you have blessed me with, to be able to do it in such a way, in a position as you have given. And I thank you for how you care for us in every trial and tribulation that we go through. do not forsake us. You do not look away from us. But you look and you see us and you mold us through our trials. And Father, I just ask that each of us here today and any who are not able to be with us would see the need that we have for you. The need that you would care for us and uphold us and hold us to the end by always coming to you. Remind us of that always, Father. I thank you now for this sermon that you have put on my heart to prepare. I thank you for the battles that went on within me in a way of how do I do this, how do I do that, which way do I go, how do I bring your truth to your people, to the ones who needed to hear this today. And Father, as well, I know that there are others who are not able to be with us. I ask that you would spiritually bless them and uplift them with the knowledge and truth of you will be much in their life. As well, Father, as you, I think of the family that has lost their friends, their spouse, their close ones. And we do know that when loss comes, there are others who are left behind. So, Father, I just ask that you would be known to them. I don't know where their salvation is. I have no idea where these people are. I don't know anything about them, Father. But you know them, see them. So if it is anyone here that is to be put in a place to share the goodness of you with them, then so be it. And provide the words. And if not, us, you would bring someone to encourage them if they are in the faith, and if they're not in the faith, to show them the faith. Open our eyes as we read together through the scriptures now. Soften our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In the ending, with Christ arising, Judas's apostasy, and Peter's denial, just as we talked about on Friday, Sunday, Peter becomes a leading pillar in propelling the gospel. Judas's apostasy brings death, and Peter's denial turns to repentance and life. Jesus dealt with false teachers. Before Jesus was specifically here, physically in the flesh of the earth, we know it's all through the Old Testament. There's false prophets. They're laid out all through there. But there are true teachers throughout it all. There are a remnant. There always is, and there always will be a remnant. There was a remnant of Israel that was going to make it. There is the elect that will make it to the end. So Jesus dealt with false teachers. And Paul is instructing Timothy and the church that they will deal with false teachers. Maybe you're wondering why I decided to read to you today. 1 Timothy 3:16, we've gone through it already. I know I blasted you a bit with it when we went through it. I really just shot it out. I don't always encourage that you should get a shotgun and just shoot off. Sometimes it can be a lot of, and you can feel burdened. But I wanted the point to get across before we went into Good Friday, before we went into Easter service, that Christ has risen and that it was fulfilled throughout the scriptures, that that would come about and that it did come about, and that he is with his Father. So I really blasted it out there. Everyone will go back and we'll get through 1 Timothy 3:16 a little bit more. But 3:16, and I went all the way to 4:16. But in 3:16, it is all about our Lord. And then in 4:1-3 here, which we're going to talk a little bit about, is all about departing the faith. And 4:6-16 is all about how to deal with false teaching and apostasy in the church, and in keeping with truth. For first for the leaders, and then for the hearers. Something my wife always mentions to me is that when I speak, because we talk too often mentioned when she says, if you speak negative belief, it's not just your hearers that are there, but it's you that's hearing the negative thought. And we do need to think about that. Is that even if we sit in our alone time and we just grumble, we need to think about what we're saying because we are listening to what we're saying. So again, I thank you. I thank the Lord for my wife that she encouraged me with that too. And the same thing with the positive, right? When you say positive things, encouraging things, is to encourage the hearer, but it as well encourages you because you're hearing that thing said. Just like we know the Word of God, if people hear the Word of God can do the work. We don't have to force it on people, we don't have to shove it down their throat. We don't need to beat them with the Scriptures. We just bring the truth of the gospel to the nations. I want to read with you chapter 4, verse 1 and 3 again. 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. A question that may come to your mind as you read this text and study it is, how could they depart from the faith if they are sealed? Good question, everybody. Thanks for asking. John MacArthur says, apostate is not someone who never knew the truth, but someone who knew it and rejected it. He may have even been involved in various religious activities, but because he never truly knew God, he was lured away by siren voices of demons behind the idols and false religious systems. How is it possible for deceivers to come from the faith? That's another thing that Paul brings up in this text. I believe seeing the example we had last week with Judas helps us better understand the probability of departing the faith. We rejected his faith in worldly pursuits. He wanted the cash, he wanted the money. He never believed it. His heart was never changed. He committed apostasy, just like, you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, is about money. This is a warning for us to keep the faith. Not to then focus on the money part, but to keep the faith. Remember we learned back in Acts 20, we went through this before, Acts 20, 29, that the church would have fierce wolves within the church. And then Acts 20, 28, he was saying, be careful, keep watch, first on yourself, and then on the flock. Thank the Lord we have Ephesians though as well. Ephesians chapter 6, we are to be strong. Or be strong in the Lord. That is why. Admit your need before God, and He will strengthen you. It's not a question, it's not a thought, it's not a maybe. It's not, maybe if you do this, He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. The shield was brought up this morning. The shield is for those who are in faith with the Lord, those who are in Christ. The shield is there for them. You don't put down the shield, it is there. So study the Scriptures at every opportunity you have. If you don't eat, you will die. We all know that. That's what the Word is for. We need to eat it. We need to partake of it. It is for us who have found faith. And for those who haven't found faith, it is for them as well, because it's for them to find faith. So the Spirit says in later times, in this piece within verse 1, in later times. It's pretty obvious, later times meaning later times. From this time forward here, but then as well now, we can see that there's lots of apostasy going on, false teachers all over the place, lots of false doctrine coming out of what we call the church today. There's lots of false things being presented. They're taking the Scriptures, they're twisting them. They're not standing on the Scriptures. They're using it for their own means and their own gain to propel their own ideas. But we do know that false teachers had already filtered the church because it was said, right in the beginning of this whole text that we have here, Paul started off with that, with false teachers. Timothy had a lot to deal with. some will depart from faith. This is concerning and very eye-opening. Peter gives us encouragement, though. And he says in 2 Peter, let's read it. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 10 to 11. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Those are encouraging and uplifting words. They are to build us up. Even though we know there is falsehood, we can stand on the word of God. Then if you just stay in there and you go to 3:17 of 2 Peter, it says, You therefore, beloved, we are the beloved if we're in the household of God. Knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. So, for sealed, how is this possible? Stand on the foundation of Christ, and you will be sure not to fall. People often talk to me about last days. I'm sure you've all gotten into these conversations. We can see from Scripture 2,000 years ago that it was talking about last days. Of course we are in the last days. These are the times now. But is the last days making you live in righteousness? Is it making you pursue holiness? Knowing that we are in the last times, just like it says in the scripture, the last times, this was the last times 2,000 years ago. Today, we're then again still last times. Another question is, how could their consciences be seared if they had faith? They never really had saving faith. They only had knowledge. We all know people can memorize stuff and know it and then repeat it. We all know that it is possible. People can be like parrots. You can talk to a parrot, and I know often when, I don't know how it all works, but I know that I've talked to a parrot before and it's spoken back to me. I don't know how the things work, or you have to keep going over words with them to get them to say specific words. I don't know how that works, but I know if people keep, they say this word to the parrot, and they'll say this back to you, and it happens. And it's an amazing thing. An animal talking, but God gave it the ability to do so. But this, with what we're talking about here, they never had saving faith. They only had knowledge. They only had head knowledge. They heard it. They knew it. But they never gave their heart and mind fully to God, because their hearts were not fully for God. Their minds were not fully for God, because God never gave and opened their minds to do so. 1 John 2:18, it says, children, it is the last hour. This is from 1 John 2:18. It is the last hour. And as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that in the last hour, they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So again, I bring this up 2,000 years ago. This was written, and today many people will wonder, is it the end times? Yes, it is. Of course it is. It has been the last hour since John wrote, we are in the last hour. Are you ready? Are you striving after godliness? Or are you still trying to figure out a date when the end will come? You won't find it. The end is coming. Be ready. Be watchful. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Hebrews 9:26, second portion of it. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Has the seed landed on fertile soil in your life? When we were at this conference yesterday, he had the example. I wish I could have got it from him. He had the example of a picture, and he had this man with his bag and this like and he spread the seed, and he had him standing there and he's getting ready to spread the seed. There's nice, clear, dark land, and it's been rooted up, ready to have the seed go within it. And he talked about a few other things yesterday, but something that I thought about what he was talking about too was just has the soil been rooted up so that it can take the seed within it? Has that happened in your own life? Or is there all the chaos still there? Everything that's gone on in your life, is it still on top and the seed is spread all over top of everything that's going on, right? The rocky ground someone spread on. And the trials and tribulations come and they fall away because the sun scorches it. Have you been bulldozed? Have you been cleared so that good soil, good soil, so that the seed can land, so that it can produce growth and fruit that people can then come and take from? Does your life produce fruit? Has the seed landed on fertile soil in your life? Have you believed he can do this? Save you from the wrath of God being poured out on you. Do you believe that God can save you from his wrath? Spurgeon said something like this: it is very easy to believe for others, but do you believe for yourself? Did the seed land, let me bring this up again, did the seed land fertile soil? And if so, it will produce 30, 60, hundredfold. Oh Lord, let this seed produce in us much. There is always people who understand and mind. I brought that up earlier. They comprehend and act accordingly, but they have no heart to live life that is pleasing to God. They are selfish, proud. They pray and they pray amiss, just as James says, hoping for their own gain, their own benefit. They were not growing in faith and losing faith because their consciences were becoming more and more seared. And as we get into this next week, we're going to get into that more. But with the searing that happens, we know that those who are in Christ are sealed. But those who are fakers are seared as something else. Christ will intercede on our behalf, but not so that you can keep on sinning. I'm sure you've heard this lots of times. It's not there for us just so we can just keep on going down the path. We don't just put on Christ and stay how we once were. No, but so that you can faithfully follow him. If you keep ignoring your conscience and seek out preaching that will itch your ears and give you what some call preaching, that will keep you stagnant and only befits them. The preacher, the one who's supposedly preaching something of the truth, doesn't befit you. They have followers, those preachers, and you stay chained to a yoke of slavery. When I think about this, and when I was thinking about this, I right away think of TV preachers. They want to gather for themselves proselytes. They give false hope. Do not become disinterested in the scriptures. Encourage one another from day to day. Don't let your time together be painstaking endeavors, and then it becomes a ritual and a gathering here on Sunday, which then is ultimately, as I've talked before, a club with Christianity stamped in front. I love every one of you brothers and sisters who are a blessing in my life. I long for you. I pray for you that your faith and knowledge grows, producing saving faith. But first, we need saving faith. We need to believe. With our eyes opened and our hearts that say, yes, Lord, to his commands. Minds that are washed with the word. The word cleanses us. I know we have a call to minister to lost souls here in Crescent. First of all, we have missionaries that are going out that we financially, the congregation cares for, and it is a blessing. And I know that we have to care for the lost souls here. But first, we need to care for one another and to understand our needs. And we need God. Not our needs where we fulfill and please ourselves, but our needs for God. We need him at all moments.
Amen.
We're living in it. Don't be deceived by Satan and his cohorts. You say you have believed in him, then put your trust in him fully. Has it driven you to your knees? Have you said, yes, Lord, I believe you can do this. Save me from my sin. Make me clean. Wash me new. I know that we never blasted through all of these scriptures, brought out everything that was in there, but this is what we needed to hear and what we needed to bring out within there. And I don't know if there's anything here today that what I've said of the scriptures that have been brought up that have convicted you or brought you to a place of going, do I really get this? Or has it just been knowledge? Then bring it to the Lord. You don't have to go, oh, I messed up for years and years and years. You just come to the Lord because he is showing you that you need him. That was the whole point of the law for the people of Israel. They needed him. He wanted them to come to him. Come to me. I'll take care of you. I'll bring you into the promised land that I have presented for you. Don't look at everything around you and be fearful. I have it for you. It's all there. Apostasy. Judas rejected his Lord and Savior because he heard it, knew it, was here, he was hearing it, he was with the Son of God, but it never hit his heart. Even when he came and he threw the money down, we see in the scriptures, you don't see him say anything about his Lord and Savior. He talks about him as just a man. And he comes in and he presents it. He says, This is money that the money that he took, put an innocent man, it was Christ, in the place that he was placed in. It was God's plan that that happened because then we could be here today. They could be there then at the same time. Then Peter could have his glory in God because God had chosen him and brought him. And we could be here at this very moment knowing that we have our Savior who has risen. And Judas didn't get that. Committed apostasy. Rejected the faith. Yesterday, when we were at that conference too, he brought up that at the conference about one who had rejected the faith. And this man supposedly had stood very solid on the faith. That's what we could think from the outside. But it was only head knowledge. Said a lot of things. It was only head knowledge. Why didn't it just be head knowledge? Let it produce fruit in your life. And that comes through coming to the Lord and giving him your needs. He will care for you. He will provide for you. Apostasy is a real thing, and it can be a heavy thing. And that's why we've come to this text, is because it was the Lord's will that we could come here to see this. So again, I just want to say, with closing this, if you do have anything that you want to come up here, even if you want to come up here, you want to sit, whatever it may be, you want prayer at any point, please do so. I'll pray again, and we'll sing together. Father, I just thank you for your scriptures and how we can stand on your word. I thank you. You normally come to a heavy topic like this with apostasy, those reject the faith, that we can not get weighted down and become afraid, but we can know that when we are yours, we are saved. Not because of anything we did, because you chose us. Our eyes were open to see the work of Christ, to know that everything that is written out in these scriptures is true. Everything. From beginning to end, it is all true. So I thank you that we can hold to that truth, and I just ask that we take that truth to the world, and that we hold fast. And Father, again, if there's anyone here who is feeling convicted or feeling weighed down or questioning, going, what have I done all these years? Have I got it? Do I get it? That we would get ready. That you just say, Lord, you know what? And I just give it to you. And I see that you're
recording
good in all your ways.
And I notice it. Yeah.
peace be multiplied to you.